other side of the river. And the missionary said, nobody has taken the gospel in there. So he made contact with these fishermen and asked them the big question, who made everything that we see? Where did this all come from? And they said, Mbombianda. So he wrote it down, Mbombianda. What does Mbombianda mean? It meant creator, the same word we have for Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so he asked him, what do you know about this good spirit that you say? And they said, we don't know much about him, but we know that he made everything. He made us. This is all his. And so finally he asked them the big question, does God the Creator have a son? And they looked at each other, eight men from this tribe, and said, we don't know. And finally he asked them the question, have you ever heard of Yesu, Y-E-S-U, Jesus? And they said, we don't know of Jesus. We've never heard of Jesus. He says, I have this little book from God, and I would like to come to your village and tell you what God has said, how he created this and this world. So anyways, the people of Mbongo welcomed my grandfather to come, and that was the two-story house he built there. But for 2 years, only two people trusted Christ as Savior. And most of the men wore witchcraft that they got the power from the witch doctor. So if you look back on our table, you'll see an elephant choker, an elephant witchcraft choker. And didn't want to give that up to trust Christ. Or of course, would be polytheistic in their beliefs. But it wasn't only 2 years later that my grandmother came very ill with malaria that turned into black water fever, died, and the village didn't want to have anything with the death of the first white person, and especially white woman in their village. And through the testimony of the five children, the gospel was shared at that grave that there was hope beyond the grave. And so five men stepped forward and trusted Christ as Savior. Well, like I said, my dad was born there in 1920. My mother came from Idaho, Jerome. And there my dad's holding our first daughter. So we went out to, Christine and I met at Denver Baptist Bible College. And were married in 81, 82, found us on deputation, going to back then Zaire. So we worked at this big river called the Sankaru River, and there our main emphasis was planting churches and a Bible Institute training men. So that's where we worked there, a picture of the river and the Bible Institute up there. Our kids grew up eating this kind of fish. This was a tiger fish, very sharp teeth, and had all kinds of pets, from monkeys to everything you can, antelope and different things. So those are our first five daughters, and then we have a boy, and then Anna. So our main goal was training men. Men would come in with their whole families. The whole family be there for 4 years, train them, send them out to start local churches. So in 2017, we had a 100-year anniversary celebrating that God has given our family the Grings. So when you see your rings, pray for the Grings. And when the telephone rings, pray for the Grings. Easy way, just put the G before the rings there. So being able to share the gospel. And so we were able to fly into this remote village where my grandmother died in 1936, and where the five first men trusted Christ, became pastors and evangelists, and fly in with the last of the five children living, and that's my Aunt Louise, who was married to Daryl Champlin. And they, after working in Congo, they went to Suriname. Also my sister Becky and her husband Lee Ward. And then our oldest daughter Sarah and Christophe that are missionaries in Belgium and also come often to Congo and minister. And one of our national pastors and one of the boys from the boys' home that we flew in with MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. So you can see our family has grown, seven children, now we have 20 grandchildren. So Sarah and Christophe are over in Belgium, And then Joanna and Andrew are in Denver. And then Bethany and Andrew Riggs are over up in Leadville, very high city, 10,600 feet there in Leadville. And then over to Amy and James and their family in Chicago, Moni just south of Chicago. And then Heidi and Daniel in New York. And our one son, Timothy, now in Denver. And Anna, who didn't come with us this time. And she tells you all hi, but she says that's she'd rather be in Chicago right now. So there you can see where the Congo is. In the heart of Congo, our new president, President Felix Tshisekedi. And so, like, for years, my grandfather worked up in this area, across from Uganda, Rwanda. You might pray for Congo in the conflicts now with this little country, Rwanda, for all the riches that are along the eastern part of Congo. Notice the Congo River starts way down here, comes up, runs in between the two Congos. There's another Republic of Congo over here, and then down into the Atlantic Ocean. So Kinshasa there is the capital city, and that's where we live. It's actually a city, so Congo's about fourth the size of the United States. The population is 86 million people. Look at what it was when we went out in 83. And then the religions, 50% would be Catholic, 20% would be Protestant, Jehovah's Witness Catholic, Jehovah's Witness Baptist, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever, would be Protestant. And then Kimbangese, 10%, the yellow, they believe that God gave Jesus to be the Savior of the white skin, and that God gave Kimbangu, the prophet, to be the prophet and the Savior of the black man. And then also the Muslim there, 10%, and other indigenous beliefs. So like I said, we live in this big city now. God has moved us from the jungles because of war, taken us down to another jungle of 17 million people. And so this is what our streets look like. We don't try to go downtown during a weekday because it's so busy, so chaotic. But this is where we travel to our church to minister every day. And so you can see that the mud puddles there. And they're actually supposed to pave the road while we're gone. So we're looking forward to that. You can see all the motorcycles over here. Now, motorcycles are a big means of transportation in this city. So if you want to get anywhere quick because of embouteillage, what do you call embouteillage? Traffic. Traffic jams or whatever, then you get on a motorcycle. So where we rent and to the church that we minister in, that I pastor, is only about a kilometer from us. And it's surrounded by this big, huge cemetery that still people are, I don't know, there's no place to bury people, but they just keep digging up and finding new places. And in the midst of death, we have this church called Sango Nabomoi, News of Life. And so within the compound, we have a kindergarten, a primary school, and then a secondary school too. So in the morning, it's primary school till 12:30, 7:30 to 12:30, 7:30 to 12:30, however you do that. And then it becomes a secondary school and all the secondary school kids. So we primary school has had up to 1,000 kids in it. Secondary school, 600 to 800 kids. So you can see we have a lot of people in this compound and the teachers daily. But the main thing is the church that God is building there. It started with my Uncle Mark, who has since passed away, welding something, and then starting a Bible study with that man under a mango tree, finally purchasing this property. And as people were saved, the church was built. Oops, this went a little bit fast there. So in 2011, I was pastoring the church there, and we were building the first phase of the church building. And in 2015, you can see it's finally done 8 years later, but it's taken us a long time with missionary funds and local funds from our church to build this. So we came back and shared, and through God's working in people's individuals and churches that gave, we were able to start digging in to the hill there, removing all the soil. We had to go to 2 meters deep because of we had springs, natural springs, right under the corner of the church there. And by 2017, the second phase was done. I came back again and shared. We came back on deputation, shared about God's work there, and left the Otis with the church that every member come up with one sack of cement, and they carry the sand, they carry the water, and they make 33 bricks and finish the top, the sanctuary, while we're back on deputation. Well, God answered that prayer, and as we were back, God supplied the money and a team to come back out, and we found we would keep getting these pictures over WhatsApp of how the sanctuary has been built on the top level. Came back with our son-in-law James from Chicago, 2 missionaries from South Africa, and our son, I think, who took the picture here, and several of the missionary sons from South Africa, and there found the walls up and ready for the roof. So we had the funds to go out, buy a truckload of steel, had 2 chop saws, and taught our sons how to weld, and we're welding these frames and painting them, and finally taking them down to the church and installing them there at the church in Sangwana Bomoy. What a Sunday to move from where we've been worshiping, just this little open place, down lower on the property, up and thank the Lord for now we had a roof. Now we needed to put doors and windows and a ceiling in, and how God just kept bringing in whatever was needed. But the church, from the kids to the youth to the women, everybody did the manual labor that had to be done. Anything they could do, they would do it. And we just worked as a church together. God provided. Here we're making the doors and windows in our property there. This is the first man that heard the gospel. His name is Tata Mabaya. Papa Wood, you can call him Wood. Mabaya means wood. But actually, I says, your name needs to be Papa Mabende. Your name needs to be Mr. Steel, not Mr. Wood, because you're a welder. But he welds all day he won't wear a helmet. And he welds and welds and spots. Anyways, he helped me build all these doors and windows. Here we're moving cement, building the front platform of the church and the baptistry. And what so neat to see the teamwork of the church building together, and God supplying all of our needs. Finally, putting up our ceiling, the cross, and solar panels, because we don't have any electricity or water down in this area of this city. And so we have lights and an amplifier and so on. And so the sanctuary is up on top. Right here is our church office, our study room, our training room, our library, our Fellowship of Baptist Churches office, our computer room over here, and the sanctuary up on the top. So neat to see God providing for this. And finally, the inauguration 2019, and just inviting churches from the area, missionaries. Tambula na Yesu. Walk with Jesus. That's our daughter, Sarah. This is our engineer over to the right. Our flag up there, waving as we go up to cut the ribbon and enjoy this wonderful building that God has given us. So what a neat day of inauguration, of praising God. What a beautiful church to preach the gospel, the truth that changes people from the inside out, because religion only changes people from the outside, but they can never get into where God has to work. So what a blessing. Here, I'll just play you a little bit of a worship service. I mentioned to somebody this morning that when it's about 85, 80, it's too cold. People they come out late for church, especially if the sun gets up at 6 in the morning and you see it's a little bit cloudy day, you know, everybody's going to be late to church because it's too cold. So this is one of those cold days, and people just keep coming in. By the time you give another 20 minutes, the church is packed. You know, so their time isn't a big thing. But here's just singing gospel hymns. So you can see this was during COVID. They use like using rattles, and they get into singing. Boy, they love to sing gospel hymns. Oh, by the way, you can see the verses that I put up around the sides with foam to try to help with the echo, because we have quite a problem with the echo. But so neat to see the church growing, and the now 6 new deacons that God has given. And one of them I'm just so happy to share is Combs. Combs, the Lord had just prepared his heart on our church. Every morning at 5:30, bullhorns go out and give out the gospel every morning at 5:30. And he heard the gospel, came to church, God had prepared his heart. And after 2 hours in my office explaining the one-way track with Chick Publications, I like it because of the pictures, and starting with a sin problem, he trusted Christ as Savior. He's been going to our Bible Institute, and now his wife has been saved. 2 of his daughters have been saved, and he's now one of the deacons. So it's just so exciting. And our new pastor. So now we have a national pastor, and that's Pastor Moyle that I've got my arm around. And so he preached last Sunday, and today Pastor David preached. But well, so neat to just see the different people, the way they come to know the Lord as Savior, and then to disciple them. This is a discipleship course. And this was a soldier that I was able to lead to the Lord also. And just neat to see the people the Lord is saving. And the people that we're having all of our members finish a discipleship course. And so here's Christine teaching the women's Sunday school, and one of the ladies' fellowships up at our home where we rent a house. And this was a women's retreat in our yard. So the women wanted to have a retreat. So we said, how about coming up to our yard where it's secure because we have walls and barbed wire on the front so you don't have to worry. And we put tents out. They wanted to sleep in tents. And these ladies were like little girls. Ran to the first tent. Me and her are sleeping in this little tent. This is our little tent. Pastor set this up for us. We're sleeping. So they had such a good time, overnight time, and did some, what would you call it, Christine, art work and memorize verses. And so that's some of the main ladies. They got to come to retreat because they had finished the discipleship course, and that was one of the requirements. So this is just Sunday school kids, and I made 2 loads with the Land Cruiser, bringing them up to our house to have a special Sunday school activity. I try to do that every 3 or 4 months if we can. So the kids to come into a yard with grass, with security, with a trampoline, a ball, a swing that they don't have in their community. There's no playgrounds that they can go in on a swing. So the kids just had a great time, and we always take time to sing songs with them. You can see the guitar and sharing about the importance of guarding our hearts. Daily Vacation Bible School. So this was years ago. One of our missionaries from South Africa came out, Robert Marsh, also with Independent Faith Mission. We're teaching them a song in English. Walk, walk in the light. Today's a great day to serve the Lord. So we teach them a song in French, English, and in Lingala. So this is actually just from last Wednesday to yesterday. This is Daily Vacation Bible School, and the church was packed, over 500 kids, and we were We combed the city for months trying to find New Testament, Gideon New Testaments. We finally found three boxes, and we challenged every kid that could learn at least three verses every day of Daily Vacation Bible School would get a New Testament. So I believe they did, and we gave five Bibles to the kids that could memorize over, I think it was about 15 to 20 verses. So this is how they divided. The youth really took the responsibility of having Daily Vacation Bible School this year. So we're just so thankful for the kids that were saved, for the kids that memorized. You can see the Bibles there, and giving them Bibles for the kids that memorize their verses. So this is Pastor Moyle and one of his sons, Loris, who is also a deacon in the church. And then the opportunity of teaching God's word in the schools. So the government of Congo doesn't want just missionaries that are planting churches. You have to do something for the country. So the government has given us schools. So every place we have churches, we have schools. And in these schools, we have freedom to teach God's word in the classroom and have chapel with them. So I have chapel every morning at 7:30 with first through third grade. And then Thursday, fourth through sixth grade. I believe this is fourth through sixth grade. So you can see all the kids have to wear white uniforms. And it packs out the church completely. And I use a lot of Abeka flashcards and just go through Bible stories. And we've seen so many kids. In fact, we have one of our former deacons was saved by coming to Daily Vacation Bible School into Sunday school, became a member, finished primary school, secondary school, graduated, and eventually was married and became one of our deacons. So neat to see what the Lord is doing. This is the graduation of the kindergarten class. Can you guys hear that okay? Okay. So just visitation. You can see this was definitely COVID time, but visitation is such an important time. That's Thursday, 4 o'clock. We have two deacons that are in charge of visitation, and I, as soon as I get there at 4 o'clock, I salute them. I says, "Where are you sending me?" They say, "Well, we had five visitors, so you're going to go see the two of the visitors, two people that are sick. This man has lost a family member. You need to go pray with them, and then we want you to just hand out tracts up in this area. Who am I going with? Here's the men you're going with." And so we just take out, and it's such a neat time going and sharing the gospel and seeing those who God has prepared their heart to receive God's word. This is another outreach. Since COVID, this was shut down. Now we've reopened it, and we have three centers that we're having Bible studies at weekly. And this center, I get a report on it every week, and it's grown now to about 50 people. But they're having a hard time finding chairs where the people can sit and hear the teaching of the Word of God. So they're praying that God is going to provide about 40 to 50 chairs that they can just leave in this church, one of the members of our church, in his yard for this Bible study. So these people are about a mile away or more from our church, won't come to our church, but they'll come to the Bible study. And the deacons and members are doing this faithfully. Pray for the need of Bibles and literature to get God's word out in Congo. For the past 2 years, we used to buy Bibles. If we had the money, we could go down buy French, Lingala, Chiluba, Swahili, Kituba, the main languages that we stock Bibles in. And for $10. Now they're $13, and it's very rare. For the past 2 years, this means in Congo, taking off your sweat. And in other words, it's a hard time. You got to learn to snap your fingers like this too. You know, it's a hard time to get Bibles. So pray for the need of literature and Bibles that we'll be able to, that somehow, maybe it's something about what's going on in China, because that's where they're printed, so they're not getting this, or customs, I've heard, is a problem. And then getting this literature up into the interior, to the Bible, to the Christians and churches up there that need Bibles. Another way we get out God's word is through MP3. So you'll see one of these little radios on the back back table there. It has a solar panel on it, a rechargeable battery, and we just buy an SD card off of Amazon, about 16 gigabyte, load it with whatever, if it's going to a Swahili-speaking area of Congo, Chiluba, Lingala is the one we use all the time, and we download messages, the whole songbook, a discipleship class, and this is such a blessing. Also the need for printing. This machine has been down for 2 years now, and usually all over here are shelves that I have all kinds of printed literature that helps the churches, and I haven't been able to print because we can't get ink for this printer machine. But we just finally, it came in and we found a place, so when I get back, I need to print our songbook in Lingala, Chiluba, and Swahili. Our songbooks are completely out in the Congo. So pray for the need of the printing. There you can see them putting James and our son Timothy putting the books together. We also have a Bible Institute at our church for churches around in the area of the city. And we're just so thankful for the professors and for the people who have given scholarships to help encourage these students that are learning God's word there in the capital city. We're still trying to finish up our around the church. We have a lot of erosion, and as God provides, just before we left, God provided both from the local church and special gifts to buy more cement and a truckload of rock. That's $650 just for gravel and rebar, and we were able to pour the sidewalk there. So now on one side of the church, it's so nice, you can walk right up to the church, and it saves the mud from going up into the church. But on the other side, we need to finish it off. You can see down here on this corner, we have natural springs. So for years, people come here, I'd say 400 to 500 people per day to get water, to bucket it out of this natural source there. But now God has supplied build a well. So this was a Sunday when God had supplied for us. We got big culverts, and now we're going to dig these culverts down in. And when we thought we were going to go at least 8 meters down, we went 3 meters, and we hit solid sandstone that we could not penetrate. So we stopped there, but on that shelf, nice water was coming. It's not the second table that we should be into, but it's providing water for all the school kids, thousands of kids that are in the yard per day. So what a blessing to get water. It was a day of rejoicing that little 12-volt sump pump was pumping water out. Look at water, water, we have water that's pouring. So down in that open area is where we've met for years. And so, just to see God's supplying. So we pump, the sun pumps it up into these big tanks. We have three big 1,000-liter tanks. And then outside, we help also the community with water. So these are school kids on recess and getting drinks there. Everybody's so thirsty. For years, they haven't had any way to get water. And now, just since I left, we put in the second pipe. I actually put in a 2-inch PVC that comes from those tanks. So people are just lined up outside all day. We sell the 25 liters for 20 cents. So they have to pay something for it. Because we believe even though you'd like to give everything free, you need to pay something to appreciate it. And then that money comes back. We divide it up to help with the maintenance of the pump, if it ever goes out, and the maintenance in the property. Pastor David was sent out as a missionary, planted a church, then worked with 6 other church plants, got very ill with diabetes, and came back to our church with his family. He was almost dead. And we didn't have any place to put him, so we cleared out our office, and back behind we have a big room that they could sleep in. They were in there for over a year. But he does have, the doctors have told him he'll never be able to go back to the bush because he can't get insulin, because he needs to stay in the capital city. But now he has regained his health, and he's such, even though he hasn't been, our church can't afford to pay him as one of the pastors, he is functioning as a pastor in our church and is such a blessing, and his wonderful wife and kids. So he planted a church up in Lokolama. You might remember to pray for him. He has a little property, and just before we went, we put up a tin shack for him to stay, and that's where he's staying there because we had a new pastor now, and he needed to be able to work out of the office. So pray for Pastor David. Pray for the church at Ibamba. Many of you have heard about this was our third church plant, and how they, Pastor John went there for years sharing the gospel, and how the church started with a bark church. And finally, Pastor John came to me about 2 years ago and said, "Hey, you see these piles of rock? I believe that God wants us to build a permanent building." So anyways, we were able to go down there and help them haul out the rock and take chainsaws down. And I says, "If you have the faith to haul this rock for 7 kilometers, 5 kilometers on the flat, 2 kilometers down, on your backs, on your head, that we're going to get a permanent building in this village that's 400 and some kilometers from the capital city, I have the faith to go back down with you with my chainsaws, and we'll cut all the board structures." So we cut all the wood, left it in the church to dry, and just were able to go down about 5 months ago and put the roof on the church, which we have a little video of that. So that's the finished church product. So our fifth church plant is in the capital city, and that's at Banzalemba. And this church is just growing. We were able to help them get up a roof, and finally God has provided. But this church, the pastor and his wife have a heart for the orphans in this area, for the Kaluna. Kaluna, these are two gang leaders that have trusted Christ and now have Bibles and are off the streets with their machete, who normally are out at night, and if they find you, they say, "Give me your cell phone and your money." And they all hold machetes. And if you give it to them, they say, "Turn around, go." And when you go, usually they slash you as a mark just on the back. But if you don't give it, they dismember you right there with their machetes. And so these are gang leaders, and they're reaching them. And this church is also reaching the women of the street that have a place right next to the church. And they come, actually these days are sitting under the tree near the church. And she's, pastor's wife is ministering to them. So here's trying to help them get their church up. And so pray for the finances to finish this church. That we still have to finish a little bit of the flooring and plastering. And I did the 2 doors, and we still have windows and so on to finish, and some cement work and a wall. So pray for those needs. We have what we call a 50-50. So as a church comes up with 10 sheets of tin, as missionaries in our fund, if we have that, we try to match 10 sheets of tin. So a Bible costs $10. Well, for a believer, we'll sell it to you for $5. So this 50-50 helps not only in church buildings, Bibles, but also evangelistic trips and Bible Institute scholarship. Pray for our church leaders. For years, I've been the legal representative and president of our Fellowship of Baptist Churches. But these are now our pastors that are the leaders in our churches. Pray for them. Pray for our other missionaries, Lee and Becky Ward, who have a boys' home. Pray for Sparky and Mindy Clancy that work with a Bible Institute up on the Kasai River where my grandfather crossed, and for the ministry up there. Pray just some prayer requests for Hebron court case. We have a large property my parents bought for a church. We have a church and schools and have a cemetery where my uncle, my dad, and my African brother are buried side by side. And we have a corrupt men that are trying to take this property away. We have all the deed on it, all the legal work, but we have corrupt people in high places in the courts that are wanting to take this large property away from us. So pray, we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on this court case, and it's just so corrupt. So pray for that. Pray for the need of Bibles. Pray for two of the young men that are in Bible Institute. We'd like to send the ones that are learning English to a Bible college in Kitwe, in Zambia, for further education. Pray for our local church, our new pastor, the deacons, as they hold down the fort there. Pray for the Congolese people, for the gospel there to be shed, shared. Well, I went too long, you can see on this presentation. So we had a 10-minute video. Maybe as we dismiss, if pastor allows, we can just put this video on as you're greeting and going out, and because we should be done by now. But this missionary is too long-winded, so forgive me. But if pastor will allow it, they can just put it on and it can play. And pastor, you can come and dismiss us. And that can play, people that have time and want to see what it would be like to come out on a missionary trip. So this is a church from Chicago sends the pastor's son, our son, James, and our son-in-law, Daniel, that's married to our fifth daughter. They come out to help put the roof on this church that we built with rock that they carried up and pounded into gravel to make the columns and so on. So that'll show a little bit. And the first video that these missionaries have ever gotten with drones. So you might want to see this, but if you need to go, you know.
Wow. There was a lot of good ideas in there. I like the idea of plastic chairs. I like the idea of